This is a strange Christmas sermon. So please bear with me here. It's a weird one. You know, I wonder, I might actually try this up here because I don't have anything blocking me from you guys. Can you see me better up here or is the floor okay? Either one's fine. Is that kind of, either one, move around. Okay. Just don't do any backflips. This will be good. All right, Luke chapter 2 this morning. We're going to be, there's some various passages there out of Luke chapter 2 we're going to be doing. So I want you to turn there in your Bibles, Luke chapter 2. We're talking about the birth of Jesus. Last week, we talked about the birth of Jesus, how it was foretold through the prophets. And kind of, and we looked at the prophecies in the Old Testament and how Jesus fulfilled those prophecies in the New Testament. The birth of Jesus through the eyes of the prophets. Today, we're going to be looking at the birth of Jesus, at the life of Jesus through the eyes of his parents. What was it like to be the parent of Jesus? And we don't know a lot of things because there's not a lot of detail, but there are some things we do know based on what the scriptures say, some lessons we can learn from Mary and Joseph, lessons from their life that we can apply to our lives today. Regardless of whether you have children or not, there are lessons here that can be applied to your life today. And we're going to be looking at those things today. It's not, to be honest with you, and I hate to admit this, but I'm going to anyway, it's not one of these great spiritually impactful messages, so to speak, but it's life, right? And there are some things that we can learn from this that just you walk away and think, wow, I never saw that before. And I was preparing for this message. There are some things in here that I learned preparing for this that was so great for me, actually, as a parent. And I can't wait to share it with you. So Luke chapter 2, if you turn there, we're going to be reading probably just verses 1 through 7 to begin with. Then Luke chapter 2, 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's take a moment and ask God's blessing upon this reading today. God, we come to you today reading a passage that many of us have read over and over and over again. And yet, Lord, we know that sometimes when we're reading something, that you can show us something new. And we ask today that maybe we would learn something new from this passage, something that we can apply to our lives in a way that can impact others and impact this church. Lord, we pray your blessing upon this service today, God. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was at Grace University, I became friends with a guy there who was just as interesting as I am in character. Anyway, he was a really good guy. We got along really well. I'm not going to say his name to protect the guilty, the innocent. And we just had a great time together. We actually built houses together for a few years. He was in my wedding. He was a really good guy. He had a sister who, you know, she got married, and she and her husband believed the passage, you know, be fruitful and multiply, right? And so they had several kids. Well, they are now expecting child number, I think it was 6, but don't hold me to that, right? So child number 6, she goes into labor. Driving down Highway 75 in Bellevue, they pull off the road at Chandler Road, and he is born on the shoulder of the road. Their baby is, right? My friend wanted to name the baby Chandler. His sister would not let him. He thought that would be good. But here's this child. They, you know, were obviously, they had plans for when the child was going to be born, and the plans did not come to quite their, they did not follow their plans, right? God had something else for them. And so here's the baby born at a time when they really maybe were not expecting that to happen. And I see that in Luke chapter 2. Don't you see that in Luke chapter 2? We're on a family vacation. We're going back to the home area to visit the family. This is going to be fun. Yeah, I got to pay taxes, but we're catching up on everyone here. Great time. And meanwhile, oh, the baby decides it's time to be born. Not quite really what you had hoped for, so to speak. Children can be that way, can't they? They seldom wait for our own timing. You hear of couples who, well, I'm going to wait to have a child until I'm financially prepared or until I get through school or whatever. And the joke is that if you wait until you're ready to have kids, you'll never actually have kids, right? And then sometimes God says, well, the joke's on you because you're going to have kids whether you're ready or not, which inevitably you never are anyway, even if you think you are. I love the guy who said you can have two grown adults who are very well educated. They can have Bible college. They can have four-year degrees and whatever it is. They can have their doctorates, PhDs. And as soon as you put them around a kid, they become babbling idiots, right? A kid, they just have no idea what to do with this thing that's in front of them, right? And isn't that what children are? And so I'm picturing Mary and Joseph here on a trip, and boom, their baby is born. Some of the lessons we're going to learn from Mary and Joseph, these are just things that you guys probably know, but I'm going to remind you. And these are things that maybe you never thought about, things that Mary and Joseph dealt with, even with the perfect child, that maybe you've never considered. The first one here is that obviously children are not convenient, right? We laugh because we know. I hear an amen, right? This is it. Children are not convenient, are they? They do not follow our timeline. They do not do necessarily what we anticipate they're going to do. Your life will be changed forever because of children. All right? Now, you're sitting here thinking, okay, Pastor Barry, wait a minute. I don't have kids. This isn't going to apply to me. No, just hang on. There are some parts in here that is going to apply to you, okay? And it will help you as you have friends who have children because you can take them to Scripture and say, hey, look, Mary and Joseph were there too. It's okay. This is life. Don't feel like you're a bad parent just because these things are happening to you. Just because you think this way does not mean you're a bad parent. This is normal. All right? I know sometimes, being a parent myself, I feel like I'm a horrible parent because I have these thoughts of, why do I think these things about my children? Because I'm normal, right? We have a friend of ours, and I love her to death. She said, I know why I don't homeschool my children. If I did, I'd eat them, okay? And so she recognizes that. Children are not convenient, are they? There are times you're just like, man, it just doesn't work. They don't follow your timeline. We had a family wedding. Was it last December, 2014? Last December. Friday night, we made plans. We made reservations. We're going to have a family night. We're going to go down there. We're going to stay at a nice hotel. We're going to go swimming with the kids. It's going to be a blast. We have coats on the kids. We're leaving the door. One of the kids turns around and throws up in the sink. The flu has hit the Bear household. Can you go to a family wedding when you have the flu? Not if you want them to talk to you again. So there we are. We have reservations. We can't cancel the reservations. Get our money back. All this stuff. This is life, isn't it? And Mary and Joseph experience those things too. You look at it and you're like, man, are you kidding me? And God's like, no. Happened to Mary and Joseph. These things happen. Children are not convenient. But that's okay. Because again, that's normal. Number two, children are frustrating. I love this one. In Luke chapter 2, 41 through 48, this is one of my favorite stories on parenting in the Bible. Verse 41, every year his parents, his being Christ's parents, went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind it in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day, and then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "But why are you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. You know, Mary comes up to him and says, "What are you doing? We've been looking for you." "Well, why?" I can imagine the gesture she was restraining at that moment in front of the priest, right? "I'll show you why." Children are frustrating, aren't they? And here we have these parents that God specifically chose for his only son. We're wondering, why are you doing these things? Why are you doing this? And those of us who've had children, we look at them and say, why did you just do that? We don't understand. Didn't we teach you better? I mean, goodness gracious, we've been looking for you for 3 days and you're not even stressed about this. What don't you understand about this situation? We had some friends that came out this weekend. They spent the weekend with us. Friday night, Saturday, and he was telling the story of his brother. When they were growing up, it was a different culture than it is now. His mom says, likes to say that if I'd had my children in today's culture, I'd be in jail right now, and I wouldn't have any kids. Point in case, the mailman delivered his two-year-old brother to their house in a snowstorm, and he was only wearing a diaper. And she had no idea he was gone. He just walked out of the house. Right? Sometimes kids do that, and you think I'm a horrible parent. But kids do these things, don't they? And we hear stories, and you think, what in the world is wrong with that parent? And then you, wait a minute. Mary and Joseph lost Jesus for 3 days. How do you tell that to God? That would impact your worship. Well, Lord, last year was good. This year I lost your son. Sorry. These are awkward conversations, right? But this is normal, isn't it? Do not think of yourself as less of a parent. If you lose your child in a mall, it's okay. All right, Mary and Joseph did too, and they locked for 3 days. I can handle this. This is life, isn't it? I don't know. I mean, again, when I was preparing the sermon, this went completely different than I ever thought it would go. It really did. But I'm just thinking, man, God, this is great because this is life. Mary and Joseph lived it too. They did. And sometimes, man, you talk to parents and they're just struggling. They are. Why do I have these thoughts? Why do I have these frustrations? Because it's normal. It's okay. It's okay to have these things. Yes, children are frustrating. They are. Children are inconvenient. They are. And you don't understand. Lesson number three, we don't always understand our kids. I like that when he responded in verse 49. He said, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. You know, your children, in their mind, have a very good reason. And honestly, we look back on this and we think back because we know the whole story, right? We say, well, yeah, Jesus was doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing. Why were they questioning him? Put yourself in their shoes for just a moment. All right, this is God's son. Put yourself in their shoes. And they say, yes, why were you doing this to us? I don't care about the fact that you got something else you need to be doing. You are our child. And I don't understand why you're doing this. You don't always understand your children. And that's okay. Because again, they are children, right? We don't always understand them. But that's okay. So what do? In these times when you're frustrated, when you're thinking, man, I'm just going to, in the name of Jesus. You know, I have a sister-in-law who says to her kids, are you ready to meet Jesus before he's ready to meet you? Right? Sometimes you think that, okay? I brought you into this world, so help me, I'll take you back out. These things happen. You think these thoughts. So what do you do in those moments? What do we learn from this? What do we have to learn from this? So here's something we can learn. A good parent must be flexible. In Luke 2, 6 through 7, what'd she do? The Bible says she took the baby, she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger because there's no room for them in the inn. It was not an ideal situation. And what'd she do? She flexed with it. She went with it. That very night, she had a whole bunch of people coming in, stinky, smelly, off the fields to visit them. How would you handle that if you're sitting in the hospital room and here comes a whole bunch of people you don't know, all excited to see your baby? Are you kidding me? Right? But she flexed with it. These are things to help you deal with the frustrations, just being flexible. Just understanding, okay, this is life. This isn't anything anybody did on purpose. This is life. You know, last December when we couldn't go to the family wedding, I was initially very frustrated. Rachel was as well. It was not a good time for us. And okay, wait a minute. It's nobody's fault. This just happens. We have to be flexible. If you are not willing to flex, then you're going to end up snapping at some point, right? You've got to be flexible. Real parents are flexible. Good parents are flexible. Understanding things happen. Be flexible. Be willing to adjust. Going back to that passage, Luke 2, beginning of verse 41, every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. Stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. They were unaware of it. They traveled on for a day. How do these things happen? Now, I'm not going to speak from personal experience here because that would be too real and it would get me in trouble. So I've heard of people who have left their children in places. Why? Because, well, I thought you had the child. Well, I thought you had the child. Right? These things happen. Correct? My parents are here. I will not tell you that my brother was oftentimes left in church sleeping on the front row because we were visiting. We have 7 kids. We get halfway home and we're doing a head count. Wait a minute. We only have 6 kids now. These things happen. So I've heard. You got to communicate, don't you? When you're a parent, if you're going to do this well, you've got to talk to your spouse. You have to communicate. If Mary and Joseph, now it's a great story again, but they were unaware of the fact that Jesus was behind, what would have happened if they would have actually, hey, have you seen Jesus recently? No, I haven't, just as they're leaving. Well, maybe we should see if we can find him before we leave Jerusalem. Oh, that's a great idea. But instead, thinking he was in their company, making, if you can read into this, assuming he was there, right? Assuming he was there. Well, I thought you had him. I thought you had him. I can imagine that conversation, right? And what do you, if you just talk to one another, sometimes these things can be taken care of. And it's hard. Because what happens is you're in the middle of sometimes a stressful situation and you don't want to talk to one another. You want to speak very firmly in a very loud tone of voice, communicating to the other how wrong the other person was, right? Realizing that you were just as much in error as the other person. Whose fault was it that Jesus left? Was it Mary's fault or was it Joseph's fault? They just didn't talk. But it would not surprise me, because they're human, it would not surprise me if there's a little bit of finger pointing going on. Imagine looking for your kid for 3 days. I would imagine there was something going on. Talk to one another. If you guys would just talk to one another, sometimes these things could be eased into, could be even avoided, really, right? And it's not just for parenting. That's for all situations in life. Talk to one another. And it's hard. I mean, Rachel and I, we have different schedules. I'm here at the church. She's at home. It's hard. Some days it's very difficult. But we need to learn to just open up and just talk to one another, okay? And then when things go south, because they will, it's guaranteed, at that point, don't point fingers. Let's resolve the situation and put the blame on the kid where it belongs, right? Now, that's what Mary did. Why did you do this to us? Okay, and that's exactly what Mary did. And we laugh about it, but this is real life being lived out in the New Testament. And I love this because it's such an encouragement to me. It really is. In the days I feel like a failure as a parent, I go, okay, you know what? God chose Mary and Joseph to be the parents of his son. And they had these very same thoughts that I've had. God chose me to be the parents of my children. And there are going to be days it's going to be rough. And that's okay. It's okay to have those things. So be flexible, communicate. And the last lesson, and I love this one, be the parent. In verse 50, Luke chapter 2 there, I like this part. But they didn't understand what he was saying to them. In verse 51, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. He was obedient to them. They did not say to them, oh, we didn't understand. You're here about your father's business. Go ahead and stay here. That is not what they said. If they'd have said that, he would have stayed in the temple, right? Instead, what can you imagine them saying to him? Reading between the lines. Dude, I don't care what your reasons are. You're coming with us. And he was obedient to them and came. They were the parents. And if you have a child at home with you today, you are the parent. In obedient school for dogs, they teach you that it's not so much what you say, it's how you say it. And people will tell you, people who train dogs, you don't come to dog, come. Do you hear the question mark at the end? You hear that question mark? Down. It's down. Very firm, period, exclamation point, done. There is no conversation. With children, it's much the same. You don't offer suggestions. You're the parent. Now, in some situations, it's okay to do that. Sometimes it is. In other situations, it is not appropriate to do that. You are the parent. Be the parent. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Children are to obey their parents. As a parent, your job is to teach them to obey you. That's your role as a parent. So here's Jesus doing something that spiritually he was supposed to be doing, right? His parents, not understanding that, made a demand of him, and he was obedient to them and went. You can tell this story to your children and say, look, here's Jesus doing what he was supposed to be doing, and he still obeyed his parents. You right now are not doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you're going to obey me. You're the parent. Be the parent, right? Not what we're supposed to be. It's okay to expect obedience. It's okay to demand obedience because you're the parent. Be flexible because you're not always going to understand. Communicate to one another, but be the parent. Mary and Joseph were willing to do that, and Jesus obeyed. Now, our children may not obey near as easily as Jesus did. Proverbs has a passage on that one. He that spares the rod spoils the son, right? And it's not talking about a hot rod. I wish it was. I wanted a fast car. I got a 1979 Lincoln Continental. That thing was a boat, my friends. But hey, you know what? When I went to college, I was actually traded that in for a 1987 Plymouth Horizon. Do you remember these things? Tin can on wheels. The good thing about that when you're in college is that you are not cool enough to drive anybody anywhere. I always got to ride. I never had to pay for gas. So mental note, if your kid's going to college, buy them a junky car because it'll save them a lot of gas money. Really will. All right. That's an aside. We call those rabbit trails. All right. So what about those of us without kids? You know, I don't have kids. Never had to be flexible in that way. I've never not understood. You know, I've never had a child that I didn't understand. Never had to be the parent. Well, what do I do? In Luke chapter 2, we read. Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 33. Actually, start in verse 28. Simeon, there's a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, righteous and devout. Simeon took him, this is Jesus, in his arms, praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about them. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul also. The beginning of verse 34, Simeon blessed them. You know what? It doesn't matter how old parents are. Sometimes they need to be blessed. They need to have a little bit of encouragement. And if you're sitting here today, your children are grown. They're no longer at home. But there are probably people in this church that do have young kids. Sometimes they just need to be encouraged. They need to be blessed. Mary and Joseph were just marveling at the words of Simeon. And then Simeon turned and blessed them. Kids are a gift from God, aren't they? Children are a gift from the Lord. And sometimes we as parents need to be reminded of that because we're looking for the receipt and return slip. Can I take them back? My sister-in-law tells me, she told Rachel once, she said, I don't know where you got him, but put him back. Wasn't very nice. Anyway, parents sometimes need to be blessed. They do. And you who are here today, all of us can have an opportunity to bless one another, to bless those with kids, because it's not easy. So take an opportunity. Is there a parent that you can bless today? Whatever that looks like. And it looks sometimes as different things. But bless those parents. It can be an emotional, just coming alongside them and just taking them on and say, you know what? Your kids are great. Yes, sometimes they drive you up a wall. It's okay. God chose you to be these kids' parents. You're doing great. Encourage them. If you ever need advice, if you ever need something, just call me. Sometimes parents need bless. Give them a gift card for Pizza Hut, for two pizzas. You know, it's $20. Hey, here's a night you don't have to cook. Enjoy this night with your kids. Give them an extra $2 to rent a movie. Those are type of things that can really be a blessing to parents. Parents sometimes just need to be blessed. And the last one there, Luke 2:34. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Now, how can you get a day out of town without realizing your son is not with you. Eden, you have an answer? You're having a break from him. Man, she's been reading my notes. Right? Isn't that what happens sometimes? Parents want a break. Here, you take him for a while so I can go visit with my friends. No, you take him so I can go visit with my friends. In this instance, nobody will take him and we'll go visit with our friends. Parents sometimes just need a break, don't they? Even Mary and Joseph. They had this great opportunity to visit with family, to visit with friends, and they were doing that. That's what they were doing. They were hanging out with these people, thinking somebody else is taking care of Jesus. Finding out later that somebody was, just not the person they thought, not the people they thought. Parents sometimes just need a break. Those of you in this church who don't have young kids at home, you can help people like that. Tyler and Sabrina right now. You know, here's little Isaac. Sabrina's partial bed rest. Tyler's sick. Is this an opportunity for some of his family to say, hey, can we just take Isaac and disappear for a little while? That's an opportunity. Parents sometimes just need a break. Don't think less of them for that. And don't think less of yourself if you're a parent thinking, I just want to get away from my kids for a while. It's okay. It's normal. And when those times come, by all means, don't be so proud that you won't ask for help, right? If you need a break from your kids, call somebody. Now, if your kid's 42 and living at home, there may be some different phone numbers. Yes, Janet says kick him out. Okay, so you can do that. Sit him out in that junky car, all right? Go away. But sometimes parents just need a break, don't they? And I'm reading this story and I think, man, God, this has been so me so many times. There are times I've had to learn to flex. There are times I haven't been and it bit me. There's been a lot of times I haven't understood my child. And there have been times I've just needed to be the parent. There are times I need a break. And it's okay. It's not that I love my children any less. I don't love my children any less. But sometimes you just need a little bit of a break, don't you? And that blessing that you get from others can be huge. Those moments when people come up to you unsolicited and say, hey, can we just help you for a minute? Or you know what? Your children are so great. And I look at them and say, are we looking at the same children? But they are great, aren't they? I mean, Alex is here getting baptized today. Something he's been wanting to do on his own. And I'm proud of my son for that. It's a blessing. And you guys have opportunity to do that as well. You guys can do that. These are some fun lessons, some real life lessons. There were some bonus lessons I wanted to mention just briefly. I'm just going to breeze right through these. I already talked about the one. You know, even Mary and Joseph lost their child in a crowd. It happens. If you lose your child once, don't hate yourself. Okay, Mary and Joseph did it too. And trust me, his real dad is probably a lot. I wouldn't really want to aggravate him. Let's put it that way. Okay. So even Mary and Joseph lost their child. Letting others enjoy your children can be a blessing to them. Look at Simeon, who took the baby in his arms. The shepherds who came. Sharing your children can also be a blessing to others. Think about that. Sharing your children can also be a blessing to others. And the last bonus lesson, and we see this in Luke chapter 2, verse 19. And again, let's read verse 19. Luke chapter 2, verse 19. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And again, verse 51, 51b. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Here's one for all of us. Sometimes we just need to think about God's blessings. In the middle of life, you just need to step back. Okay, God, regroup time. We're going to hit the reset button. Ponder the blessings in your life. All of us need to do that. All of us need to do that. God, we come to you today looking at these stories, and Father, you are so great to share these with us. You've allowed us to see a glimpse of Mary and Joseph that I know I really didn't think about up to this week. And this has just been wonderful to see this and to think, man, they lived it too. And God, we thank you for the lessons we have. I do thank you for sending your son. And today we're getting ready to celebrate this baptism as a picture of your death, burial, and resurrection. And we praise you again for what you have done for us, God. Thanks, Lord, for loving us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.